Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast. We're your co-hosts. I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And we're on season 3, episode 7 of the Real Docs Podcast. And today we're going to be doing a little bit of a reaction, not to a specific video, but more of just like a trend that we've been seeing going on the, you know, TikTok, Instagram, all of the social media platforms. It seems like there's been quite the obsession with this macronutrient. And so today we're going to be talking about protein, everything protein, bulk. No, I'm just kidding. I think this is something that we've kind of maybe alluded to in past episodes. Like, we've kind of touched on it a little bit with the cortisol episode. So it's something that we've been wanting to talk about for a little bit of time.
Obviously, protein is very important for, you know, some of the things that we'll talk about. But it's also kind of become this sort of, yeah, obsession where it's like, let's dial it back a little bit, you know. So, yeah, we'll be talking about what are some kind of benefits in terms of protein, what are some, you know, protein goals, and sort of like the risk benefits even when it comes to too much protein and all of that.
Protein is one of our main macronutrients that we're kind of taught about in nutrition. So there's protein, there's fat, there's carbohydrates, right? These are our main macronutrients. So it is important that we do consume it. It seems like it's the one macronutrient that's not being demonized right now. It's having its moment.
We always talk about protein in terms of the breakdown of protein are these particle called amino acids. There's, I can't remember the name of them, like 20 something of them, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
And they're really important for various different things. The main thing that we, you know, really focus on, especially in the wellness slash the athletics, workouts. I don't know what they're.
Yeah, like
fitness.
Gym bros.
Yeah. industry in terms of, you know, muscle mass, muscle gain, you know, really just maintaining and even gaining muscle goal, if you will. You know, on top of that, that kind of comes hand in hand with, you know, maintaining weight and losing weight even. I think we also talked about this in like ADHD episode and some of the other episodes in terms of how proteins and especially these amino acids being really important for our neurotransmitters.
It's the building block for a lot of things, not just muscle. Like, we even need protein, like the amino acids, for even like hair, skin, and nails, for our immune system. All of our immune system antibodies are protein based. So, you know, there's lots of different pieces of our body that require protein. So it's necessary. You don't want to be protein deficient.
I feel like there's always like in terms of like the deficiency picture that we see in terms of like muscle wasting or just really losing a lot of like the muscle tone and whatnot. Also, in terms of proteins, really important for like enzymes, in terms of not just digestive enzymes, but enzymes are what our body uses in different sort of pathways for things to basically like occur. So we call it kind of like a catalyst, if you will.
Kind of main thing that we think about that we get from protein is the nitrogen, right? That's kind of makes it different from like carbohydrates and fats, is that it's packed with nitrogen. And nitrogen in the body and the blood tends to be very actually like kind of toxic. That's why we need to filter it out pretty well. So we think about people who like struggle with to filter it out through the kidneys, because your protein is broken down in the kidneys and excreted in the urine. And so when people don't like have kidney issues and they don't break down their protein, then they start to get like delirious, right? There's like a lot of like negative consequences of not being able to break down your protein. In a general sense, the recommended RDA, recommended daily allowance for protein, is 0.8 grams per kilogram, which is, I don't know why they say it like that, because like, we don't use kilograms in America. Why do they always use
metric?
Why can't we just do it by pound?
The pound, in terms of the conversion, I looked this up too, because I was just like, you know, I don't want to do extra step of the conversion. It's 0.36 or 0.36 grams of protein per pound.
Okay, that's
so if
good.
You're like, I don't know, like, let's say, for example, like 150 pounds, I did the math in preparation for us, it would be about 54 grams of protein as the daily recommended.
And I think that I just think about too, like, in terms of protein needs, there's obviously situations where you might want to, you know, increase that number, right? When I was working on the oncology shift in school and even during residency, cachexia, or like muscle wasting, weight loss was a big predictor of like mortality and like if people would be able to make it through. So there are certain populations of people that, yeah, definitely we need to make sure we increase your protein needs, because there's a lot of metabolic activity happening and you could be, you know, losing a lot of weight, losing a lot of your protein. But those, most people will fall into that category of like being able to use that RDA number. I think when we talk about like those, like the athletes and the gym bros or the people just trying to like build more muscle, you actually have to consume like a ton of protein, right, to be able to do that.
Yeah, a lot of the sort of, I believe there was a meta-analysis that talked about what are kind of like the protein goal for someone who wants to like lose weight and gain muscle, right? And that's about, again, a lot of them are kilograms, so, you know, do apologize, but 1.2 to 1.7 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. Mm. So, you know, a lot more than like that 0.8 that you were saying as like that just baseline RDA, right?
Yeah, so, like pretty much double.
Yeah. So you're just like, no wonder people are just like, protein. Yeah. Or like, you know, some of the other things that people experience, right, are like protein farts or like a lot of like digestive upset from like too much protein and whatnot. That is very, very real.
Yes, for sure.
But, you know, kind of going back to what you were talking about in terms of like the kidneys and certain populations in terms of like the protein intake, right? Obviously, depending on age, depending on like any sort of health conditions, depending on activity. And this is a little more so for like females, but like depending on if you're like pregnant, the protein intake really does differ. But one of the things that, you know, and this is, in a way, like, yes, a little extreme, but there are cases and reports of this happening. But if you do too much of protein intake, more than your body can handle, that's a very, very negative implication on your kidney. So people go into like acute renal failure, which is not a fun thing. People can, you know, even develop like chronic kidney disease if, you know, ish hits the fan, and you know, in terms of like the acute kidney failure. And then the other lens, like if someone has a chronic kidney disease from, you know, whatever reason or complication or anything like that, those are also populations that we have to be mindful when it comes to protein intake, that it's not going anything too high where it can actually negatively implicate on their kidney functions even more.
Yeah, because that's kind of how we were taught even to assess if someone has kidney damage, is by how much actually protein is in their urine, right? Because like we said, kidney has to filter out the protein. So it's like, if you're already dealing with some kidney issues from something else, then you're not going to be the best kind of metabolizer and be able to filter out all of that protein, and that put some damage on the kidneys there.
You know what's kind of, this isn't obviously funny, but one thing that I feel like most people don't really think about, especially of that, like going back to the protein spilling in your urine, is if you start having really like frothy urine, that's like usually a sign of
protein
over spillage of your protein. Mm-hmm. So be mindful.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important, because it sounds like, you know, in general, like, yes, there is an RDA that's, you know, I've heard a lot of people say like it's too low, because from what I've been seeing online, most people are like, you need like 100 grams. I think I saw that someone was saying you need 1 gram of protein per pound. So then some people would be well over the 100 grams, right? And so I feel like that is kind of what I've been seeing, is these people that are maybe in the more like athletic, in working in gyms or working with people who want to put on muscle mass, kind of directing just general people, because there are some benefits to consuming protein, right? Like it keeps you fuller for longer. It helps you kind of build that lean muscle that a lot of people want. And so I think there's benefits to it when it comes to like aesthetics and like weight loss and all of that, but thinking of someone's like general health, right, it may not be the best idea to just go about daily consuming 100 grams of protein for a long period of time. It could put a number on your body. Also, too, we know that consuming more animal proteins does increase your risk of like cancers, specifically like GI cancers. There is specifically like more processed meats and things like that. But even just consuming red meat generally, which has a lot of protein, you know, can increase your risk of cancers. So there is something to be said about the difference between like protein types, right?
Even with the RDA, the 0.8 grams per kilogram, right? Most Americans don't even hit like half of that, you know, and that's not to say that, you know, we should lower the RDA or anything like that, but it's just one of those things also, right, of our society, especially with a lot of the processes and the food industry and things like that. There's a lot of this underspoken state of how refined carbs and simple carbs really kind of took over our society. So, you know, a good reminder to sort of switch your nutrition in terms of focusing on those healthy proteins along with healthy fats and still needing carbs, but really avoiding and reducing the simple and processed carbs as much as possible.
Yeah, because I feel like there's even like, when in the protein sphere went, I feel like we were in a veganism type of vibe for a little bit. Like, I feel like 2013, 26 to 2016 was like, vegan, go vegan, don't consume any, you know, animal products and things like that. And now we're like kind of on the opposite end where people are like, you need to eat 5 eggs and whey protein powders and all of this kind of stuff. So it's like we go through these trends in the nutrition world, and I just feel like especially now you go into the grocery store and because we're in the protein craze, everything is like protein water, you know, like
what?
It's like, are the Armour waters like protein water that what? You can get?
What do you mean?
I know. It's just, essentially just the amino acid blend in water. Oh, yeah. Okay. Or like branched chain amino acid.
Is there like ground up like chicken in the water?
No. They're like, you'll see it. It's like everything right now. There's like high protein yogurt, high protein granola, high protein this, high protein that. Like they're catering to the nutrition, that nutrition craze that's going on right now. And I feel like, yes, it's good for you to hit your daily goal of protein to stay healthy, but I also feel like the quality of the protein matters, you know, where it, how processed it is, because there's definitely, just like the carbs, processed proteins that are not going to be the healthiest for you. And so I like for people to be, I usually in a consultation, if I am talking about protein and making sure we're hitting a protein goal, I always give people a list of like not only like the animal-based protein sources, but also like vegetarian protein sources. And there is a difference between like complete and incomplete protein. So like Dr. Lisa was saying, we have a bunch of amino acids essential. Like you can't make it in your body naturally, so you have to get it from your diet. And then the rest are made in your body. So a complete protein source will have all 8. Is it 8 or 9? I always get confused.
I'm gonna say 9, but I don't. Let me.
We'll Google this. It. We're bad with the numbers.
9.
Okay, there's 9. See, that's where I was like, my body is telling me 8, but my other side of my body is telling me 9.
There are 20 amino acids. Okay. Going back to...
Perfect.
20-something.
These are good to know for a protein episode. Yes. We're coming at you with all of the real details.
Real-time fact check.
Yeah, real-time fact check. The animal-based protein sources tend to be the complete... So, you know, the people that we think about, like our vegan and vegetarian friends that are doing mostly plant-based, they may not be getting all of the essential amino acids, although soy is a complete protein. So, like, people usually will do tofu as their replacement protein for, like, our vegan and vegetarian peeps.
I love the, like, giving the list because... And we do this a lot for like other sources of whatever foods, right? Or food sources of whatever nutrients and things like that. But it's having that variety of, oh, you know, I can get it from animal, I can get it from plants or nuts or seeds or whatever it is, really brings that more to your attention to be like, oh, like I am getting protein from, you know, these chickpeas in my salad or these, you know, just steak bites within my salad or whatever. I don't know why I keep saying salad. Having that also of options, because oftentimes what I also see is like, oh, like I always have to like eat my cottage cheese. I know that's like a big thing right now with like the protein, the protein goal. And I'm like, you know, some people really like cottage cheese. It's definitely not a favorite of mine. I think it tastes kind of funky. Anyways, so, you know, it doesn't, if you're not someone who's like, I can't eat cottage cheese, that disgusts me, but I still need to hit my protein goal. There's so many different options, you know. One thing that I was doing a lot when I was doing like intermittent fasting years ago, obviously we have an episode on that. One way that I was trying to like incorporate protein a little bit more was like bone broth. You know, in terms of like making into a soup or like drinking it straight up, or there's just so many other ways that you can incorporate protein where it's not going to be disgusting and really having this like negative relationship with you, but more in a positive, pleasant light too.
Yeah, I like, you know, that people focus mostly on getting it naturally in their diet from natural protein sources. And then you can always supplement with like creatine powder, or you can supplement with collagen powder, you can supplement with you know, whey protein, soy protein powder. Like there's so many things that you can do to just hit that last bit. But I get worried about some of these people who are doing that, like having a protein bar for breakfast and then a protein shake for lunch. And then, you know, like all of these processed, packaged.
Like branching amino acids, like I love them for like after you work
out,
or like recovery, but you're still getting those amino acids, but more in like the light of supplement too, just for like wellness recovery. But I feel like kind of going on the protein powder really quick, there's so many that are just like
crap
and like kitchen sink formula, or you know, some people do really well with whey, some people don't, some people do really well with pea protein, some people don't. And it's also, you know, whatever works for one person doesn't mean it works for you. Protein powder is kind of on that topic. Try different ones until you find the one that you like, that you agree with you. I feel like collagen powders are probably like my personal favorite, mm-hmm. just because it tastes better than a lot of the ones that are out there.
So they're tasteless, I feel like.
Yeah. Or like you can just like really blend it with like other like ingredients if you're making it into a smoothie or whatever. But, you know, sometimes that might not be the best for people who don't tolerate like animal fats or animal like proteins. So the world is your oyster.
A big thing for people who are interested in understanding like what their protein goals are, I think it would be a first good step to determine like what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to gain more muscle? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to get more lean? Are you just trying to maintain? Because then that's going to be able to help you determine what your protein goals are. Not everyone should be doing the, you know, 100 grams of protein or 1 gram of protein per pound of, it's just crazy the kind of stuff that you see online. And, you know, a lot of nutritionists, a lot of health professionals are able to kind of help you and guide you on being able to hit your daily protein goals. I even think for myself too, I like, once you start tracking it, then you realize like, oh yeah, damn, I'm not doing enough. Like, it's very easy to forget about protein if you're not focused on it, just because like a lot of the stuff that we consume on a regular basis like may not be protein forward, right? So
one thing to also know, and this will be kind of my last thing, is that sometimes I see with patients sort of this self-deprecation almost, if you will, for not meeting their protein goal. And it's just like, okay, like, it's a-okay. It's not the end of the world. You know, there are going to be some days where you're like, you're doing really well and you're meeting the protein goals. Great. Some days, you know, life happens. And if you're maybe like, I don't know, like 80 grams of the day versus like your normal like 92 or something like that, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of the average and the balance you have to understand. And that self-deprecating, negative, you know, almost like a punishment sort of thing that a lot of people do is not going to be good for you for some of the other things that are really important for whatever you're trying to achieve. So you're spiking up cortisol and being mean to yourself, that's not going to work out for you trying to lose weight or gaining muscle and whatever. So it's all about balance, you know.
Yeah.
Be nice to yourself and don't put yourself down for not meeting your goal or anything like that.
If you, there's so many things that you can do also to like, if you're one of those people that are trying to track your protein. Like, I remember in our nutrition class in school, like, there's apps, like, there's so many different ways that you can be mindful of it. But like you were saying, like, it's going to take a long time for someone to go protein deficient and actually get to the place where they're like having muscle wasting because of it. Most people can tolerate like just the regular, you know, RDA levels, and maybe if you hit it one day and you don't hit it the other day, you're not going to waste away, right? Like, that's kind of the beauty and the nature of the human body, is we're very resilient. General consensus is that everyone's different and everyone needs different amounts of protein, and you can do that in very, very, very different ways. If you guys have any questions about protein or anything else dealing with nutrition, we would love to help and answer. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to like, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, leave us some comments if you like the episode, and we'll see you next time. As always, be real.
And stay well.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.